that. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Donna. Thank you to Pastor Laurel as well. It's really an honor to be here. I love Bethel. I love Bethel University. I love walking on campus and knowing there's a whole rising generation of warriors that love Jesus here. I also brought with me a special guest. My beautiful wife, Sarah Elizabeth, is here. Give a wave, honey. You can't see how beautiful she looks, but she's beautiful over there. We are celebrating our 17th wedding anniversary next week. And people often ask me, how'd you meet your wife? You know, that's a good question. You know, you're a young Christian. You want to meet another Christian. If you don't meet them here at Bethel, this is like the Bethel Dating University, whatever it's called. You know, you might meet them somewhere else. I was on my way into her church to preach the gospel. I was 26. I was walking into the church, and I had my hand on the door, and I prayed. I said, God, this is the kind of church I could meet myself a woman. Now, come on. And I open the door, and I walk in, and Sarah is the greeter that night. I was like, hello. And she's like, hello. That's a lie. No, it was just more or less, hi, how you doing? And then we met. But anyway, we got together, and we married 7 months to the day exactly after that time. We are now married 17 years and have 3 awesome children. I also wear 2 hats. I am an evangelist, and I do travel the world. But in my spare time, or most of my time, I'm also an owner of a business. We do wedding videography. So any of you getting married next year, you could have us film your wedding video. I know that's really exciting for you. The name of our company is called Princess Bride Cinematic Video, just like the movie Princess Bride. So it would not offend me in the least if the next time you see me here on campus and I'm teaching a class or sharing here at the chapel, if you walked up to me and you said, hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. That'd be cool. I'd be like, hi, nice to meet you. Anyway, that's our company. So I'm talking today on meditation of the Word of God. What I want to do is share with you, first of all, what meditation is not, followed by what I believe meditation of the Word of God is. First of all, when I was asked to share on this topic, I looked up, I did a little Amazon search. I thought, I'll check this out for books and CDs and top. What is it like? So I went to Amazon.com. And I discovered there are exactly 74,662 books on the subject of meditation. So what I thought I would do the next 20 minutes is give you the very best of all 74,000 volumes of what you really need to know. Does that sound good? So, first, what is meditation not? In other words, what is Christian meditation? What is meditation of the Word of God not? Let me describe for you what I believe this is not Christian meditation. Are you ready?
Me. Oh, great spirit of the universe. Oh, mystical one. I am somehow neutralizing myself and reaching out to you. Don't forget to breathe. Breathing is very important. And somewhere you'll speak to me. Okay, that is not Christian meditation. Now, what is Christian meditation? It is defined as a spiritual discipline that takes effort and determination on your part and connects you to the living Christ. Let me repeat that. Christian meditation, or meditation of the Word, is a spiritual discipline that takes effort and determination on your part and connects you with the living Christ. I'm not here to connect you to just the book. The book is very important. The book is vital. We're going to look at the two different avenues of understanding and meditating on the Word today. But I don't want to lead you just to the book itself, because then I would be ignoring the fact that Jesus Christ is the risen Christ. I don't want to point you to a dead Jesus. I'm not going to point you to the Jesus before he took your place on the cross to take your sins, because that Jesus was crucified for our weakness. He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He was still the Word, because John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was still the Word as he was the Lamb, but then he took upon himself your sin and my sin. He laid himself bare upon the cross. His holy blood dripped off the cross onto the ground. He bought back our lives forever for God. He went into that tomb for 3 days. He descended into hell. He came out 3 days later, defeating death, coming back into his body, supernaturally changing and stepping into his place as the eternal Son, inaugurating the current kingdom of God that we have today. And now I'm going to connect you to, when you look at the Word, it's the living Word. So I want to share with you that when you meditate on the Word, it isn't just a discipline that you memorize it and you're neutral about it. Actually, what I demonstrated for you there is the exact opposite of what true meditation is. It is an action. It is where you're taking active stance of understanding what the Word says about you, who you have become in Christ, and what you can do as a result. So I've got for you a wonderful passage from Joshua, chapter 1. So if you just look with me at Joshua, chapter 1, I'm going to read for you 3 verses here. He says, only be strong and very courageous. It says, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking these words. So you better pay attention. The Lord says to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. That's the promise. So the first verse is the promise. You're going to have success. That's the promise of the Word. Now, how do you get to that success? It is the discipline. Here it comes. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have success. That's the discipline leading into the final verse. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So if you look very carefully, you first of all have the promise. You're going to have success. By the way, that is God's definition of success before you. It is not man's definition. God's definition is, be strong and courageous. You're going to have success if you walk with me. Now, in between the promise and the fulfillment is the discipline. The discipline is, this book of the law shall not depart. Notice it does not say, shall not depart out of your mind. It says it shall not depart out of your mouth. Notice those words. That means you have to activate the Word of God. You meditate on it and you speak it. And as you speak the Word out of your mouth, you are filling your mind and your heart and your life with truth. And as you speak it, you will see the presence of God will then go with you. That is the fulfillment. The presence. Do you want the presence? If you want the presence, you got to go through the discipline of the meditation of the Word of God. Now, let me tell you, that's God's definition of success. There are thousands of Bethel students today that have graduated from this awesome university, and they've taken with them wonderful degrees and incredible knowledge, but they have forgotten the discipline of meditation on the Word. And so you can go and meet with them for coffee today. You can go sit with them, but you'll notice something. If they are not in that Word day and night meditating on it, then they are not walking in the presence. So therefore, according to God's definition, they are not successful. The only way you can be successful is if you learn what it means to walk forward in the Word of God, learn to speak it, learn to let it become your day and night meditation, and then the presence of God, the promises, the presence goes before you. I don't know about you, but I want the presence of God. I want His power. I want it before me. I want it behind me. I want it over here. I want it over here. I want to wake up in the morning and feel the presence and the glory of God. To get to that, I have to go through the discipline. Got pretty quiet in here. Now, I brought with me a visual aid. Hold your applause. Wait for it. Now you can applaud. Come on. Now, Hebrews says the Word of God is quick and powerful. And it is sharper than a two-edged sword. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, take up your weapon. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, you notice this sword has two edges. It's got two edges to be successful and effective. There are two words in the Greek. I'll give you a little Greek. I don't know too much Greek. I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. The little Greek runs a shoe store and the Hebrew a clothing store. Now, I'll give you a little Greek. So the Greek word for word, you can tweet that. That was a good one to tweet. At Born to Blaze. Carl knows a little Greek. No. So the Greek word for word, there's two of them. One is logos and the other is rhema. These are the two edges of this sword. Let me tell you about them. What does the logos mean? When the Bible talks about you must meditate on the word, there's two words for word. One is logos. It is this. It is the established body of truth. So it's very important that you learn the word, that you meditate on it. Some of you are students maybe in the seminary and you're studying Greek, you're studying Hebrew, you're learning the context, you're learning who the audience was, you're learning what the author originally intended. That's powerful. You must develop that side of your sword. But don't stop there. The other word for word is rhema. It's the other side of the sword. It means the living word or the breathing, living word of God. So, here's how it works. When you are meditating on the word and you're thinking on it in your mind and you've memorized it, you ever had this experience where you're going through it and all of a sudden, as you're looking on the page, it's almost like a little wind of heaven breathes upon it and it like jumps in your heart and you feel like maybe the Lord is potentially speaking to you and that word fits exactly your situation and you grab a hold of it and you say, that Lord, that's a word for me today. That fits my life. I'm going to hold on to that. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Raise your hands. Now look how many hands are up. That is the rhema. That is the living word. That is when the Spirit of God, I call this illumination. That is when the Spirit of God, He does this to you. And He blows upon the word, and that word becomes life. That's the other side of meditation that I want to teach you. And I found some photos from Aragorn. Anybody here seen Lord of the Rings? Come on. It's just, you know, yeah, come on, Lord of the Rings fans. Even all you girls love Frodo. He's a cutie. So, you know, the little bit where the elf guy, what's his name? The elf. No, not the elf, the 20 years, the older one. Thank you, Elrond comes to, I guess I better see that movie again. Elrond comes to Aragorn, who's still the ranger, and he pulls out the sword. Remember that scene in the tent? And he says, cast off the ranger. Become the man that you were born to be. There's power in that. That means you're not just a Bethel University student this morning. You're so much more. You are a warrior for the living Christ. You have to learn to cast off the ways of the culture around you and embrace the Word of God and meditate on it day and night. Let it come out of your mouth. Let it speak into your situation because you're speaking the Word like a two-edged sword. And as you speak it and learn it, you are then becoming the man or woman you were born to be. Now, there was this plumber in England named Smith Wigglesworth. That's a great name, isn't it? Any of you ever heard of him? You know, I'd like to announce our visiting speaker today, Reverend Wigglesworth. You know, So he was this little short plumber in England. He was an evangelist during the Pentecostal movement. I know that word is a little strange for some of you. Some of you have been told, some of you girls, your father sent you here, they paid your bill, they said, marry anybody on campus except a Pentecostal. So he was this Pentecostal preacher, and he understood the word. In fact, he never learned to read. At age 48, he couldn't read, so his wife taught him to read. And she said, what do you want to read, Smith? He said, teach me the word. I want to only learn the word. So she taught him to read, and only he was called the man of one book. All he knew how to read was the word. And he kept a pocket of it, a little pocket edition in his vest, and he would read it 20 times a day. He'd pull it out. And he'd read it, and he'd put it back, and he'd meditate. He was meditating day and night. Let me tell you, Smith Wigglesworth preached the gospel all over the world. He healed the sick, and he raised the dead. He had 22 people raised from the dead, documented under his ministry. Anybody have a couple like that this week? Anybody raised the dead this week? No? Okay. Smith Wigglesworth did. So I think he knew something about the power of the word. He said this. He said, I have developed an absolute confidence in the Word of God and in the God of the Word. Let me repeat that. I have developed an absolute confidence in the Word of God and in the God of the Word. There's your two-edged sword. There's your two different edges. The Logos is the Word of God. It's the established embodiment of truth. You got to learn it. The more of it you know, the more powerful you'll become. But he said, I've also developed a confidence in the God of the Word. That's speaking of faith, isn't it? See, if you don't mix what I'm sharing with you today from Joshua 1, if you don't mix your faith in this message, you're going to leave this hall today and forget all about it. But if you're sitting there this morning and you're applying your faith and saying, wait a second, yes, I can learn the Word and both sides of it and learn what it means. I can become a warrior for Christ. Then you will leave this hall and you will leave this university, not just with a great degree, but with the presence of God going before you and the presence of God going behind you. And you will have great success according to God's definition. Sorry, I have a little amen section. You're not used to that. So I understand that, Bethel, you amening, but I brought some ameners over here. Now, I was really fascinated by this guy, Smith Wigglesworth. So I read this biography, and I was raised a good Lutheran boy. I didn't know anything about healing the sick or Pentecostal, whatever that word means. And so the author of this book was 91 years old, still alive, and he was preaching in Minnesota here. He was from England. So I found out about him, and I decided I would give him a call. Because he was a living companion of Smith Wigglesworth. I wanted to know what he could tell me for advice for ministry. So I called him up. He said, and he had this lovely English voice, you know. He said, right, what do you do in the church now? I said, well, I'm a janitor. I clean the toilets. That's what I did. That was my first mission, was cleaning the toilets. He said, that's a great place to start. He said, now, Carl, I would like you to master a book of the Bible, like memorize it, understand it, and meditate on it. He said, when I was a young man about your age, I chose the book of Romans. He said, I chose the book of Romans, and I decided I would memorize the entire book. So I began at 8 o'clock in the morning with my coffee, and I would sip my coffee, and I read Romans passionately. He said, it took me an hour and a quarter. It's an hour and 15 minutes. And he said, it only took about 3 weeks. He said, master the book of Romans. I said, oh, that sounds like a great idea. So we talked a bit more, and you know, this guy knew this guy. Great. So I hung up, and the next morning, I got my coffee, 8 o'clock. I thought, I'm going to do this. I started in Romans chapter 1. I started off, I went all the way through the entire book of Romans, all the way to chapter 16 in the end. It took me, guess, an hour and a quarter, yes. So I did this for about 3 weeks. And I meditated on the word. And at the end of 3 weeks, I had the entire book of Romans memorized. Yes, you can do it. And it served me my whole life. When you memorize the word and you meditate on it, it brings you life. How has it been for me? Well, pretty good. Let's talk about the book of Romans, shall we? I'll save you an hour and a quarter. Romans chapter 1 declares that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for in it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for in it is written, I will go on from faith to faith. Chapter 2 declares that he is not a Jew who was one outwardly in the flesh, but he is a true Jew who was one inwardly in the spirit. And circumcision is that of the heart and not of the letter, lest any man should boast. Chapter 3 goes on to say, all the world is held accountable to God. All the world is guilty before him. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who does good. There is none who understands. There is none who comprehends. And Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Chapter 4 goes on to say, you and I share in faith in Jesus, in the faith of Abraham himself, who though he heard the promise, he did not waver in unbelief, but he held on to the promise, and he would not let go, and he had faith. Chapter 5 goes on to say, you and I are justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He came looking for you when you weren't looking for him. And by the way, in chapter 5, it also says, you and I are to reign in life in Jesus Christ. Chapter 6 goes on to say, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we who have died to sin live in it any longer? We have the power to reign in life over sin. Chapter 7, Paul cries out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God that Jesus Christ my Lord shall deliver me. Chapter 8 goes on to say, there are two laws operating in the universe, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death, and the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and I am a son of God. Chapters 9 through 11 talk about the fact that God will save a remnant of Israel, a remnant of Jewish people in every generation until his return. It also says, in chapter 10, that the word of God comes by faith, and faith from hearing the word spoken. In chapter 12, we are admonished to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice before God. And as we do so, we are not conforming our minds to the world, but by the word of God, we are transforming our minds and we are becoming warriors. Chapter 13 goes on to say, I should be subject to government. By the way, President Obama is preaching right now in St. Paul, Minnesota. Chapter 13 says, pray for him. How you doing? Let's pray for President Obama today. Chapter 14 goes on to say, the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but it is, so it's not partying on Friday night. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Chapter 15 goes on to say, I have hope and joy in the Lord. Chapter 16 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath my foot. Huh, how's that? I saved you an hour and a quarter. Know this book. It has life in it. It's full of life. Now, the promise is you'll have success. The discipline is you must meditate day and night upon the book. And if you do so, you'll go forth with his presence. Don't you want that? Don't you want his presence? I got to come down to a close here, I think. I gave you about an hour talk in 20 minutes. I'm coming back. I'll be here on the 10th of March. Monday, the 10th of March, talking about fasting. As they say in England, fasting. I want you to remember the power of the word. In 1938, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of my favorite theologians, Lutheran theologian, had a Bible school going on in the north of Germany. And about 30 students came together for a retreat. It was on the beach. It was a beautiful setting. This was the year before the SS came and shut down the school and stopped all things life of Christianity in that nation. They locked away Bonhoeffer in a cell. Before they had this retreat, he had 30 students gathered. They were expecting a weekend of teaching from the great theologian himself, author of The Call to Discipleship. It was Bonhoeffer who said this, and remember this, develop an exclusive allegiance to Jesus Christ. When you develop an exclusive allegiance to him alone, that means also the word of God takes precedence in your life. Then you are in that exclusive allegiance. You are understanding that it is only through Jesus Christ you can have eternal life. So instead of a whole weekend of lectures, Bonhoeffer said the opening night, I want you, each of you, to take one scripture tonight, memorize it, begin to think on it. It can be one verse or a series of verses. He said, tomorrow, Saturday, all day, you're going to take a walk around by the ocean. You're not going to speak to each other. It's a silent day. All you are required to do is meditate on that one verse. So they did so. On Sunday morning, they came together. Bonhoeffer built a little stick fire and threw a few sticks in it by the beach. All the students surrounded them. The ocean waves were coming in. It's a beautiful moment. He turned to the first one and said, tell us, what scripture did you memorize? Tell us about it. And the one student opened up and he began to share the scripture and all the thoughts, the Holy Spirit, who is your teacher, began to share. And then he went around the circle, and as they did so, they kept adding logs to the fire. And by the end, it was this great blaze of fire and passion for the Word of God. And on Sunday, they all left with the pulsating understanding that they were going to live their lives in alignment with the Word no matter what. Now, to get to that, it takes discipline. If you are willing this morning to go through a little discipline the next 24 hours with your smartphones, anybody have one of these? I want you to stand to your feet with me right now. If you're willing to have a little discipline with your smartphone the next 24 hours, I want you to stand to your feet. Okay, now, I don't know as much as you do about the smartphone. I'm old. However, my wife taught me, it's good to have a wife, how to put a reminder in my phone. So on Monday, I put a reminder in, and I set it to remind me the minute I turned my phone on. And this morning, I set the reminder, and I forgot about it. And here I'm teaching a meditation on the Word today. And this morning, on my way here, I turned my phone on. The first thing it says is, I put a reminder, meditate on the Word. So what I want you to do is this. The next, sometime today, before you go to bed tonight, I want you to set a reminder in your phones. Meditate on the Word. Before you go to bed tonight, I want you to find yourself a scripture, something encouraging, something that teaches you who you are in Christ, something that gives you an encouragement. I love Isaiah, by the way. If you just need some help, go to Isaiah chapter 40, on to the end of the book. It's filled with scripture after scripture of life for you. Find one scripture tonight. Put it in your phone. If you can set yourself a reminder to meditate on your Word, I don't know if you can do this, but can you also set a little note, or can you put the actual scripture there? Is that possible? Anybody? Yeah. Okay, thank you. I was looking for a yes, no, maybe, Brother Carl. Okay, yes. So what you're going to do is take your phone. You're going to set yourself a reminder. You're going to put the Word of God in your phone. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, when you turn your phone on, the first thing you should see is that scripture. Speak it out. Remember the power of speaking the Word. It's a sword. It has life in it. Speak it out that day. Tomorrow morning, speak it out. Have it in your phone. Set yourself a reminder. Maybe a couple of reminders tomorrow. Maybe two or three of them where you'll just silently, it'll buzz, it'll go off, and you can be in the middle of class. It's okay. Meditate on the Word. Your teachers won't mind. So, you know, you're in class, you're learning the whatever the theory of the theorem of something or other, and you're learning the theorem of something or other, and as you're learning the theorem of something or other, you're going to be meditating on the Word. Now, I'd like to pray for you, and then I want to share with you a special book I have. If you're okay with it, I'm going to raise my hands. You can do whatever you want, whatever's comfortable, but I'm raising my hands. Father God, I thank you this morning for every one of us who is here gathered. We have heard, Lord, your truth through Joshua. You desire us to be strong and courageous. Today I proclaim that over every student here in Bethel U. Be strong and courageous. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, and you shall have his presence. As you meditate upon the Word night and day, I declare over you a fresh hunger today to meditate upon the living, abiding truth of God. And may it bring you into the presence of God. And I speak that over you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, do I have just a minute to share about the book? Do we have to go, or do you have 1 minute? 1 minute. Okay, you sure? Okay, if you could put up on the screen, I have something special for you. If you would like a little discipline, a little help from this day onward, I have written a book. It's a 50-page training manual. It takes 8 days to go through. I wanted to offer it to you for a special price today. It's $10 on our site. I wanted to offer it to you for $3. It's an instant download. If you don't have $3, I want you to have the book. Download it anyway. If you have more than three and you want to donate to our ministry, that's up to you. You certainly may. But here it is. It has four spiritual disciplines in it. What you want to do is go to your phone and type in borntoblaze.org with a slash to our homepage, which is home.html. So if you just take a minute, you don't have to download the book right now, but I want to show you on your phones where it is so you can do it later. If you go to the website right now, pull up borntoblaze.org/home.html. You will notice as you come to our website there, I have various messages on there that are free downloads for you. That's kind of fun. If you look on the right-hand column toward the bottom, I created a box for today. It's a Bethel University box. You can click on that box. You can download this book right now, right here, and set it aside. Get it into your phone. Save it into your phone. At some point, you're going to go through this booklet. This will teach you how to wait on God. It will teach you how the Lord is speaking to you in a revelatory way everywhere. One of the disciplines in here is meditation. What I preached this morning is in this book. So this will help you. It'll give you some disciplines to go through. What I'd recommend is you get it, and then you carve out an 8-day period of time. Maybe not during school here, but when school finishes, maybe in June, July, look on your calendars, set aside 8 days. Call that a voice of one calling, and pull out your phones and go through this material day by day, and at the end of it, you're going to discover, actually, you have found not only confidence in the Word of God, but in the God of the Word. So I want to bless you with it. Again, it's a suggested donation. You can download it first. Go back to the site and click donate. I hope all of you will get a copy. Be blessed with it. Go through it. 8 days. It's not easy, but it's worth it at the end. And become confident in the Word of God and the God of the Word. I'll see you back here on the 10th of March. Thank you very much, and God bless.